Amen. We truly do honor our mothers this morning and so thankful we have so many godly ladies within this church body, this church family. I want to talk to you this morning about a mother in Israel. A mother in Israel. That's not one person. That's a descriptive phrase. A mother in Israel. I've heard this expression all my life, and I was a bit taken back because my Sunday school class, they're not exactly young kids, and they really weren't familiar with this term. So I knew I was in a little trouble this morning and needing to explain things. You see, I've heard this all my life. I don't know exactly when I first began to hear it or understand it. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I heard it used many times in Bible school and reading different books. And then later, when I became pastor, I have a thing I like to do. I like to send a birthday card to folks on their birthday, and I like to write a little something in there. And there were some select women in the church, some older saints, ladies in the church, and I would put this in their birthday card. I would say, "You are a true mother in Israel." There it was, a mother in Israel. And like I said, for years, I don't think I thought about how that phrase came to be or where it came from or why it was used. I knew it was somewhere in the Bible, but what I did know was the type of woman it made me think of. When I heard the phrase, a mother in Israel, I knew what was being referred to. It was the kind of sister in the Lord, some elderly woman, that seemed to be a qualification. You had to be an elderly sister, but it was someone in the church that modeled godliness and spirituality, and because of that, their life was both an example and had an impact on folks in the church. In other words, this mother in Israel was someone that was a dependable spiritual force in the church. Mother in Israel. You may wonder with me, where did that term come from? It comes from the Bible. Little story in the Old Testament. Israel, the people of God, had sinned. They began to cry out to God for deliverance. And the general, he was reluctant to raise an army of Israelites to fight the enemy. And so God got to talking to a prophetess named Deborah. And Deborah, she went to the general and said, "You know, we really need to overthrow this captivating force, this enemy." And he said, "Well, I'm not going unless you go." And he pointed to Deborah. So Deborah went, and with the general, they led the forces of God, the people of God, to a great victory. Well, Deborah gets to singing and talking about that, and listen to what she says in the Bible. Judges chapter 5, verse 7. "The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." Now, at that time, that wasn't a phrase. When she said, "I'm a mother in Israel," she wasn't complimenting herself. She wasn't boasting. She was trying to say the people of God needed deliverance. And I wasn't a general. I wasn't an official. I wasn't a king. I wasn't even a man. And God used me, just another one of the mothers in Israel. He used me to bring great victory to his people. Can I tell you this morning, God still can use mothers to bring great victory to their families and to the families of God. But that's where this expression came from. Since that time, when there's a woman who arises from among the people of God and brings spiritual victory like Deborah, she is called a mother in Israel. Amen. And I mentioned in Pentecostal churches, we use this term a lot because in the beginning of Pentecost, a lot of the founders, were ladies. How many's looked on the board as you exit our church? Sister Shank, the founder of this church. There's no doubt in my mind that folks called her a mother in Israel. A mother in Israel. So a mother in Israel is a godly woman within the family of God, who's a great example within that family and makes a great impact on the family of God. She's a spiritual woman. She is a model of righteousness. She is a motivator to serve God. She's a mentor to the younger ladies. Let me give you a few more descriptions here. A mother in Israel, they live purely. They worship sincerely. They pray fervently. They help faithfully. And they care passionately about other folks. If you want to know who the mothers of Israel are, watch those who come and pray in the altars as soon as somebody responds. You let a lady respond with the need of Christ, and she'll come and pray. Look who immediately responds to come and pray with them. Don't even know that person. Mother in Israel are those that share words and of concern and advice to those that are struggling. Maybe a young mother, maybe a teenage girl. A mother in Israel will come and give words of advice and counsel. A mother in Israel just does whatever that needs to be done around the church. They're in the church kitchen. They're washing the dishes. They're taking care of things. Amen. The mother in Israel are those who always bring God into everything. Amen. Just it doesn't matter what it is. A dinner, a family gathering, wherever, a mother in Israel brings God into it. Amen. Many of you have seen the images on the news in the recent tensions in Baltimore, the rioting and the looting. One of the mothers got a hunch that her son might not be where he should have been and might be down there with all those loiterers. And so she went down to that area, and sure enough, she walked up on her son just at the time he had picked up the rock and was about to throw it at the police. How many knows what I'm talking about? And that mother, she got a hold of him. She was cuffing him and cussing. Relax. She's not a mother in Israel, but she shows us something. She said, my boy ain't going to be doing that. She saw that he was headed for destruction and trouble, so she intervened with cuffing and cussing and dragged him home. Amen. Do you know if mothers would determine to be all they can be in God and with God, they would need to cuff and they would need to cuss their children to get them to do what's right. Because of the person they were in God, they would weld an impact upon their children, the very influence of their life. You know, we live in an upside down world. You used to be able to expect older folks to have some sense and older folks to have some character and older folks to be able to give counsel and wisdom. And we're living in a world where many times, and it's because folks don't serve God, to put it very simply, they don't serve God. Amen. Older folks don't seem, in many cases, to have sense. We're living in a time it's not unique to have a news story where a granny in her 70s is running drugs. How many knows I'm right? I'm telling, selling drugs. Amen. Got a lady, 85, trying to dress like she's 25, dress sensually, and act like girls in their 20s that are on the quest to snare some male. We've got grandmas that are out drinking, they're smoking, they're gambling, they're not good examples, they're bad influences. How many realize this with just that little picture I painted? More than at any other time, we need true mothers in Israel. Women who are models of righteousness, who can make a spiritual impact upon the family of God. Amen. Most of you, if you are from church, you would say, we want our young ladies, our young Christian girls, we want them to be modest. We want them to be spiritual. We want them to be godly. My question is, that's great, but who's going to model that for them? Who's going to show them how that works? I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be the mothers in Israel. And I'm just going to give you a few examples this morning, and I'm going to focus on a few mothers in the church. You see, to really be an influence of your children, to be a true mother of Israel, it starts at home. You've got to be a godly mother in your home before you can be a godly mother in the church. But I want to focus on the mothers of Israel's of the church. I don't have an exhaustive list. Let me tell you what I did. I took a few people that are from my childhood, some mothers of Israel that made an impact on me. I took some from amongst us. I knew we wouldn't have a lot of time, so I just started writing the first ones that came down to my mind. And then when I realized I wouldn't have much time left, I stopped. And so the list isn't exhaustive. I didn't mean to leave anybody out. Another thing I did, I only chose those that had already went home to be with the Lord. You see, we do have mothers of Israel in our midst, but I chose those that have gone on to be with the Lord. And there's a multiplicity of spiritual and character traits that combine in a sister of the Lord that makes her a mother in Israel. But with each of my examples and my brevity, I'm just going to give you one characteristic that causes me to believe that they were a mother in Israel. I'm going to start with somebody you've heard me talk about, Sister Ruth Buford. Until I was 12 years old, she was my pastor's wife. What a Bible teacher, had been a school teacher. And I tell you what, when the character trait I want to emphasize here is, you know, how many's heard me as pastor talk about a need for a sense of eternity in the service? She never used that expression, but whether she worshiped or taught or preached, there was a sense of eternity and the holiness of God in the service. She was a mother in Israel. I've told this sometime way back, but when I was a junior boy, you know, junior boys can get pretty rough in Sunday school. Some of you Sunday school teachers could contest about that. But over our nursery, which was in the back, there was a stairway, and on top of the nursery, there was a little classroom. And we junior boys were sitting in there around the table. I had my back to the door, and we were getting rowdy, getting noisy. Now listen, you got to understand, our Sunday school teacher was a man's man. He could rip phone books. He was a boxer. He was tough, but he couldn't control the junior boys, and we were getting out of hand. My back was to the door. I noticed the fellas across the table from me, their faces got white all of a sudden, and they grew silent, and I felt a cold chill go up my back, and I turned around, and Sister Buford had walked into the room, and there she stood with her Bible like this and her eyes closed, and she was going, "Holy, holy, 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 holy," and we junior boys were shaking. And I want to tell you, it wasn't a paranoia. We felt like God had walked into the room. And she just said a few quiet words, and there was nothing heard from the junior boys' class for weeks. I remember Sister Buford teaching, and there'd be such a awful, I use that meaning full of all, sense of the holiness and the presence of God. I remember a revival she preached when I was very young, just for the young people. She set every one of those young people right up here in the middle, and she preached a revival, got filled with the Holy Spirit. She was there. I was 7 years old, around the corner. There was a planter here. I was around at the butt end of that planter praying for the Holy Spirit. I remember her being right there saying, just praising, glory, 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 thank you. She was there when I went through the baptism. She was such a Bible teacher that even when I went to Bible school, and they were retired from ministry for many years, a church had her come and speak on the tabernacle every night. And I went there, and as she just taught on the tabernacle, something many folks find boring, the whole church was filled with the sense of the holiness and the power and the might of God. I looked around. People were weeping. People were trembling. She was a mother in Israel. Then I want to talk about Sister Irvalee Hooten. She was my Sunday school teacher. She was my dad's childhood Sunday school teacher. I didn't realize till I read her obituary. She lived to 96 years old, died in 2008. She had graduated from college. I never knew that. And she devoted her education and her talents to working in an orphanage rather than just another school. Her whole life, never married, dedicated herself to teaching children. And when I began to preach at 17 years old, she was my biggest fan. She's my only fan, but she was my biggest fan. And I want to tell you what I learned from her as a mother in Israel. I learned that this thing of serving God is serious and it's real. Let me tell you, whenever she talked, testified, taught, she'd either do one or two things. She'd either have a big old smile and just exude joy, or she'd weep and she would cry. I knew that serving God was real from her. Every time she spoke, it was either joy or it was weeping. It was tears or a smile. Amen. And she was fun. I got from her that you could be real and serious about this thing and still have fun. I mean, I can see her today. She's kind of a large woman. She had really big ears and really big hands. And she wore her hair with one of those braids around like that, you know, stuck from the 40s or 50s. But I'm telling you, when she began to testify, you knew that God was real in her life. She told a story when I was very young. She said she just got saved and went to the movies. Now, that's the movies of the 1920s or 30s. I can't imagine how bad that movie was. But she said, I sat down there in that theater and felt somebody, what do you call that? Poke you on the shoulder or something else. Anyway, tap you. That's what I'm looking for. She said, I felt somebody tap me on the shoulder. She said, I whirled around. Nobody sitting behind me. I looked back at the movie. They tapped me on the shoulder. I whirled around. I looked under the seat. Nobody there. She said, it happened one more time. I said, God, that's enough. She's talking. She said, I ran out of that movie theater and said, I'll never go into a movie theater again. You say, you thought she's crazy, didn't you? No. I thought she loved God. That's what I thought. She was a mother in Israel that taught generations of children that God is real and you love him with all your heart. Amen. Another example, a mother in Israel, Sister Ruth Chrisman. The character thing I want to focus on with her, she taught a reverence for the Word of God. She loved the Word of God. It began at home. She studied her Bible at home. Sister Karen's been bringing me archaeological magazines. I mean, she studied. She read books about the Bible. She read the Bible. It was the Bible, the Word of God. I can still see her. I can see her right now. As I'm preaching, she'd be back there. She'd have her head slightly cocked like this, and her eyes would be riveted on me. I mean, her eyes just right there on me. And as I'm preaching, she's not. The whole time, she never, her attention never broke. And then on Monday morning, I'd get the call. Pastor Hurst, brother, so thankful for the Word of God yesterday. Thank you for preaching the Word. When she got so she couldn't come to church, Sister Karen, and only listen, there you are, and only listen on the internet, she'd still call me on a Monday. I love the Word, she said. And then she would go from loving the Word, she would go to Jesus is coming. If folks would only look around, they would know Jesus. I'm talking about a mother in Israel. And for Sister Chrisman, amen, believing the Word and her respect for the Word wasn't just in hearing it and reading it and studying it. It was in living it. I might have should have asked Sister Karen before I told this, but I was at her house one time not long before she passed, and I don't know how long ago this had been, but we got to talking about the Bible, and she said, yeah, and folks need to live it too. And she got on the story, one of her neighbors at one of the places she lived, he wasn't married, and he moved a lady in to live with him. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor Hurst, I wrote him a letter and showed him. She had her Bible, showed him from the Bible where he ought not be doing that. It was wrong. I said, Sister Chrisman, you didn't. She said, yes, I did. I told him. I mean, she believed this Word should be reverenced and lived. A mother in Israel, when somebody would come to pray, amen, she got so she couldn't kneel. But anybody responded. I'm talking about folks that weren't of the church family, but they heard the gospel, they respond. They come and pray. She'd sit right there behind him. She'd be there praying. A mother in Israel. Amen. Sister Hattie Vickers. The thing she taught me was joy. Even up in her 80s, we begin to sing on a Sunday night. And one of the first people to respond would be Sister Vickers. Amen. Especially if we began with the song, Look What the Lord Has Done. She'd jump out of her pew as quickly as someone in their 80s can jump. She would jump out of her pew and she'd keep one hand on the back of the pew and she'd close her eyes and she'd begin to dance. with such joy on her face. A mother in Israel. Amen. I just asked my Sunday school class briefly about, you know, I talked about this term, and Sister Rebecca immediately began to talk about Sister Vickers and how she would dance in the Spirit. Amen. You know, I'm moving quickly here, but that's a true mother in Israel. Can you say amen? The joy of the Lord. Amen. It was a modest thing. It made me think of Brother Clendenin one time. He said, I've been trying to get this doctor to come to church, and I finally got him to come. And I looked back there, and there was a sister there too. And he said, I begin to think, oh no, I hope she behaves herself tonight, because she is always shouting, you know. What if she starts shouting to run that doctor off? He said, we started service, and sure enough, in the song service, that little saintly woman got up and began to dance down the aisle. He said she went and danced right along next side of that doctor, danced a while, and then fell over in his lap. He said, oh no, we done run him off. He said, after service, I went to him and said, you know, I'm so sorry about. He said, sorry, preacher, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You know, people can tell when it's real. And with the mother in Israel, it's real. It's the joy of the Lord. I thought of Sister Elaine Wilson. The thing that she taught us as a mother in Israel was faith. Sister Wilson believed in the power of God. She believed that God answered prayers. I can see her now with her hands lifted up about like this. And she's a praying and she's a crying and woo. And then she would begin to pray a prayer of faith, even towards the end when she was conscious of little else, lucid, and very little time. We'd go to pray, wouldn't we, in the house? And those hands would go up, and she'd start praying a prayer of faith. A true mother in Israel. Sister Joy Brock, she taught us about, as a mother in Israel, she taught us about the moving of the Holy Spirit, responding when the Spirit was moving. Amen. Sister Brock was the first to sense that the Spirit was moving, or that the Spirit wanted to move, or that we needed to let the Spirit move. She would sense that. Her hands would begin to shake. Amen. And I always thought of the scripture, the Spirit's like the wind that blows where it listeth. And I see her hands begin to shake, and I would see that as leaves on the tree, because the wind of the Spirit was blowing, and the rest of us didn't even recognize the wind was blowing yet. Oh, but the leaves are already starting to move. Amen. I want to create a quick scenario here. We've been through the four part of the service. Amen. It's just been routine as usual. Not a lot of passion. Not a lot of exuberance. Little happening. Just getting through the service. The choir has just sung wonderfully, and yet there's been little response. I'm up here messing around, putting my Bible in its place and finding my location in my sermon. But all of a sudden, from over there in the corner of my eyes, the hands are moving, and there's a whoo, and suddenly she's up on her feet. Brother Hurst, I've just got to testify, and out in the aisle, about the goodness of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord would sweep over the congregation. Oh, what a mother in Israel. Joy Brock was a portal, a point of contact in the service for the Spirit of the Lord to move. The list could go on and on, but let me give you one more for sake of time. Brother Leitner, she probably was never honored on Mother's Day because she wasn't a biological mother, but that is my Aunt Mildred Leitner. And the thing she taught me was, they say that meekness isn't weakness, meekness is power under control. And she was a very shy person. The week after I moved the Leitners here, she had a stroke. And no one at the church really knows her the way she was before that stroke. I do know that all their life, all their ministry, though she was shy, she would teach children's classes. I can't tell you how many children she has influenced with the gospel. Amen. And yet, being shy, she was one of the first in a service that would begin to weep and cry. Take note. You ought to read her journal, the things she would say about the services and the things that God had spoke to her. But let me just share you one little story about this meekness, power under control. Remember, and I've emphasized that for a reason, how shy she was and quiet and all of that. But before I came here, I was physically sick and at the spiritual low point of my life, and I couldn't get out of bed and function. And at the time, the Leitners were in California pastoring. And one day the phone rang, and Sandra walked in there. She said, "It's Aunt Mill. She wants to talk to you." So I took the phone. No greetings, no pleasantries. Here's how she began. She said, "Satan," remember, quiet and shy, "you get out of there and leave Clifford alone. Get your hands off of him. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And begin to pray. A mother in Israel, and though she's never been honored as a biological mother, I would like to honor her today as a mother in Israel. One common thread in all of these, it was never about them. They weren't someone that wore their feelings on their shoulders. It was never about them. It was about God and people receiving help. I'm going to close. Music, you come. Amen. Our families are increasingly fractured. We are bringing folks into the church, children, who more and more hardly know who their mother is, much less what a godly mother should be. If there was ever a time, from our teenagers, our children on up, if there was ever the time the church needed mothers in Israel, it's today. I said, it's today. Now, make no mistake, I have used those that have passed on and just a sampling. But we have mothers of Israel in our church, living mothers of Israel in our church today. And I am grateful for those. And I'm not going to mention those, but I'm grateful for those. We have younger women. I've got women in my Sunday school class. Amen. I can't really call them kids anymore. I want to. But women in my Sunday school class, they're mothers in Israel in the making. They just haven't passed the qualification of getting white and gray haired yet. But they're mothers in Israel in the making. We need mothers in Israel, spiritual, with character, all about living for God, serving God. Amen. Moms, this morning, God made you a nurturer. He made you a helper. He made you a lover of others. He made you a bright light, a smile. He made you a difference maker. But the only way you're truly going to be all that you can be is to have God in your life, Jesus first, to be a follower of Christ and a heart to serve Him. Amen. We recently had Sister Rich's memorial service, and I read many of the remarks from the family, and I made my own remarks. And the summary of those was Sister Rich was a very kind, a very sweet individual. And as I begin to proceed, I just felt a nudge that I need to make something clear. And I said, you know, we've been memorializing Sister Rich, and she was very kind and very sweet. And I said, yes, a lot of that was her temperament. But I said, she would be the first to admit it wasn't just her temperament. It was because she chose to be a follower and a lover of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, whatever your temperament is, whatever your nature, it is Jesus that makes a difference. Amen. Things were bad for Israel. Wickedness had triumphed. The children of God were decimated in slavery. Spirituality was at a low. But God was able to speak to a woman named Deborah, and she arose, just a mother, not a general, not an official, not even a man, just a mother. And she arose and said, enough is enough. And God began to move through her life and brought victory to her family and the people of God. She was the first mother of Israel. I've given you examples of others since her. And there is others this morning. You may not even be a believer, but God is calling you to be a mother in Israel. Would you stand across this building? Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, let's just thank God for those ladies that you know of. I didn't even mention them, but the ladies you know of who were mothers in Israel, the impact, the influence that they had on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mom, you need help. You're a young mom. I can't imagine all that you face. You need help. You're strong. You're a hard worker. Oh, but you need the help of Jesus, the power of the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. I wonder if you're here this morning and you're a mom and you need Jesus. We use these steps as an altar this morning. Oh, you recognize it so clearly this morning. You need Jesus in your life. You want to be a lover and a follower of Jesus Christ. He is your Lord and Savior. Would you come right now to these steps? There'll be some mothers in Israel here to pray with you. Amen. You're here. You need Christ in your life. You can't do it yourself. You know the loneliness, the desperation, the hopelessness many times it comes because you're at the end of your strength, the end of your resources. Amen. Maybe it's not salvation you need. It's just that you realize you need God at work in your life. You're a mother this morning. You'd say, I need God. I need to let Him move in my life like never before. Would you come right now? As a mom, would you come and say, I need God at work in my life. I need Him to touch. I need Him to speak in me and through me and to me. I need His power. I need His enablement. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how to make this altar call. Amen. And I know it's a special day, and I know because of things that we did, the service has went on a little longer than normal, but I really feel like we need to pray. And I'm not suggesting that you're not. But Mom, we're here honoring you. But Mom, if it's your desire to be a true mother in Israel, would you come begin to fill these altars? Amen. You said, my desire is to be a true mother in Israel. Amen. Would you come and begin to pray in these altars this morning? I'm going to have your families come pray with you. But you say, I want to be a mother in Israel. Is that your desire? Come ahead. Hallelujah. I want to be a mother in Israel. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm telling you, that's your desire. That's your heart. I want to make a spiritual impact. I want to be an example, a model, a mentor, a motivator. Amen. You can come and kneel, stand, however you'd like to do. Amen. If you'd come, you want to be a mother in Israel. And as these mothers are coming, perhaps you're here and you don't even know Christ. Won't you come and give your life? You're going to need Him. You need Him with the kids. You need Him with the marriage. You need Him with yourself personally. Amen. Just move in close, mother, so your family can get behind you. Amen. Amen. Family, if you're here and you've seen your mother, your wife respond in this altar call, would you come behind them and pray with them? Get in as close as you can. God's going to work in marriages this morning. God's going to work in the relationships of mom and children. Come on, family, if your mother has responded. Mom, there's still some room over here to your right, my left. There's still some room up here, moms. Amen. Would you come behind these family? Your mom, your family, your wife has responded. Would you come and pray with them this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Come ahead, families. Pray with these. Amen. We can make room for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children, maybe your mom's up here. Come pray for mom. Pray with mom. She prays for you all the time. Why don't you come pray with mom this morning? Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Pray with your wife. Pray with your mother. Amen. Pray, God. Oh, God, strengthen them today. Lord, empower them today. Oh, in Jesus' name, let them feel the sweet Holy Spirit. Let them feel the sweet Holy Spirit empowering them. Hallelujah. In a world where women are so immodest and brash and all about themselves, thank you, God, that you put it in the hearts of these mothers to be servants to their husbands and their children and in their church. And you fill them with the modesty of your spirit and the brightness of your presence and the love. They're a conduit of your love and of your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God touches them. That's it, moms. Keep crying out to Him. Let Him feel you. Let Him help you. Let Him strengthen you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. God's doing some eternal things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 They can see the difference of Christ in your life. You may have an unsaved spouse, oh, but they can see the difference of Christ in your life. A mother in Israel, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Oh, God, bless these mothers in Israel. Bless these mothers in Israel, Lord. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Hallelujah. 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 Let God help you this morning. Let God talk to you. Let God strengthen you this morning. Hallelujah. Bless these women. Bless these mothers. God, strengthen them. Lord, do a work in their heart. Do a work in their hearts. Thank you forever, Mother of Israel, in Israel. Hallelujah. Oh, what an aspiration. What an aspiration to be a godly woman, a godly mother, a mother in Israel, one that makes a difference. Hallelujah.